are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, January 22nd. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rock Bottom. This is your boy, Matt Shook. I think I feel like I've said that before, maybe. This is Rock Bottom. Well, we're here again. Welcome back to Rock Bottom, I guess is a better way of putting it. I am a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life just like you guys and gals, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Spread the word about the show. Who doesn't like hearing and talking about the Detroit Pistons on a day-to-day basis? Well, I appreciate those of you who do and still do as we endure another season of Pistons basketball. I'm almost to my wit's end, if you haven't figured that out quite yet. But today we're going to run through Monday's game against the Washington Wizards. We're going to talk about the Reggie Bullock trade strategies that I am proposing. Three teams that I think might be the most likely to pull the trigger on a trade for Little Drip, Reggie Bullock. And also, we're going to look at the tank or not tank strategies heavily discussed by the beat guys on Twitter. Not going to say those guys had a meltdown, but just kind of Vince has been doing a lot of going back and forth with fans on Twitter. Probably not good for his mental health to be doing that. Rod was going after some of the tank folks today, and James was doing the same thing. I love watching those guys kind of go off on some of the fans as it looks like they're reaching a little bit of a breaking point here too as well. But let's just kind of breeze through the facts from Monday. By the way, follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, another underscore for that. But like I said, Monday, we won't put a lot of effort into the rundown because the Pistons certainly didn't either, as they lose 101-87 to the Washington Wizards in a game that wasn't even really that close, falling to 20-26 on the season, now tied with the Washington Wizards for the ninth spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs, two games out of the playoffs. But we've gotten to the point of the season where I can't really talk about how close they are to the playoffs with a straight face anymore. It elicits laughter from me, and I apologize for that. Pistons now 7-15 on the road. Just some tough Pistons basketball for you, right? Go on the road and get your ass kicked every time you go out there. By the way, I threw a tankathon simulation one time out there in Detroit. Moved up from the 10th pick in the draft to the 9th pick in the draft. So that's good there. Blake Griffin, he had 29 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. Broken record, of course, there with Blake playing well and everyone else playing like crap. Reggie Bullock, he had 12 points, 2 of 7 from 3-point range. So not really a good game from him, but I felt like I had to say someone in the highlights breakdown other than Blake Griffin for the Pistons. But for the Wizards, 20 points for Trevor Ariza, 19 points off the bench for Otto Porter, 18 points for Brad Beal, even though he struggled. A trash team that had 7 players in double figures compared to 2 for the Pistons. And they, of course, were without John Wall and Markieff Morris and Dwight Howard. So don't tell me about the injuries with the Pistons. Although Detroit, no Andre Drummond for basically the third straight game. He is still in the concussion protocol. Not allowed. If you're in the protocol, you're not allowed to travel until he's out of there. So we'll see if he's able to fly to New Orleans by Wednesday night's game. I mean, who cares, I guess. I'm sorry. I'll pick it up a little bit. I've taped this late on Monday night. If I would have taped this after the game, it would have been more of an angry tone, but now it's more of a resigned to the fate kind of tone, I guess. But with Drummond being out, you had one game where things went pretty well in rebounding with Sacramento, one where it was okay with Miami, and now you had one where it was pretty awful. The Pistons out-rebounded 45-40, and it's not just the rebounding. Basically, inside presence, mostly, you know, rebounding slash defense. The inside presence of Dre offensively is something that's probably more of a negative than a positive. But not just the rebounding, but the conga line at the rim, trademark Vince Ellis on the conga line there, especially early when Washington took control of this game against the listless Pistons. The 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern start, I don't know. It's not an excuse. I mean, all NBA team. I'm sure NBA players would rather not be playing games at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Once a year is fine. Some Sundays in there too. Whatever. I mean, I'm not gonna. That's not an excuse. So the Wizards had 46 points in the paint out of 101 of their points. But like I said, even worse early, as Washington went to the rim right from the beginning of the game, took the big early lead, and the bleeding never really stopped for the Detroit Pistons. So again, through 3 on the Andre versus the anti-Dre establishments that we have out there in Twitter land, as the anti-Dres have been very vocal lately. And so the Andre people are kind of in a corner, you know, like a coyote or something like that. You get them in the corner, and that's when they get violent. So they're getting violent now. But so if you're going to Andre versus anti-Dre of the three games, I think it's a win for one side, a loss for one side, and a draw. So each team's are 1-1-1 for the does Andre Drummond suck or not debate, which is really fun to observe from afar. But of course, with Drummond out, if it continues for a little bit longer, it's going to be a small sample size no matter what. Another thing that I would add to this is, yes, Andre Drummond is obviously a better rim protector than John Luehr and Zaza Pachulia, because those guys are zeros. They are not rim protectors in any sense of the word, but that doesn't mean that Andre Drummond is good. Both things can be true, that those guys are zeros and Andre Drummond is still not good. The cleaning the glass numbers are very bad for him. He ranks among the lowest in terms of the starting centers in the NBA in terms of field goal percentage at the rim and all that good stuff too. Dre is... although, obviously, much better at stopping the conga line than Zaza and Luehr, but he's just not a good rim protector himself. But it's going to look bad whenever Zaza and Luehr are in there trying to do anything to stop the bleeding at the rim. And Blake, obviously, isn't doing much to stop that either. So the lead got up to about 20 for most of the whole second half there. Just a bloodbath in a game where I thought it was an important one. Again, sometimes we do this, we put too much stock into single games, but as the season slips away, I thought a road game against a team that's vulnerable with injuries, although they are playing well without John Wall, but just not a good team, a necessary win. And I'll talk about how, you know, what I thought about this weekend and just, you know, a big win, Zaza with the putback, punch in the face by Buddy Hield, and then just the knockout blow today. I guess maybe a body shot by Buddy Hield, because he made the shot. It's just like you get punched in the stomach, and it knocks the wind out of you. And then I think the Trevor Ariza with those corner threes in the first half was just like the blowout in the face of everything there. So the Pistons now down on the mat for sure, as I continue the analogy there. But the rest of the week is Wednesday at New Orleans. The Pelicans will not have Anthony Davis, as far as I know, and Friday the Pistons will be at Dallas. Again, a couple of games that are winnable, but I mean, in no circumstances that team that showed up on Monday afternoon going to beat anybody in the NBA, let alone a Pelicans team with Drew Holiday, a Dallas team with Luka Doncic, and then coming home for Milwaukee, Dallas, Clippers, and Denver. So there's four losses right there, unless you can maybe get Dallas on the road, a young team there. In a perfect world, you're looking at no Anthony Davis on Wednesday in New Orleans and Friday at Dallas and thinking the Pistons team that should be competing for the playoffs, maybe they can get both of those games. But obviously, we're not feeling it here in the Locked On Pistons podcast. A lot of losses in there. And then after that, you're at the Knicks for the first of a back-to-back with those guys. And that's it before the trade deadline on February 7th. So up next, along those lines, we're going to talk about some of the Reggie Bullock trade possibilities. It's something we've talked about in the past. We're going to get specific. I got some teams and just some parameters of what I would want in terms of pulling the trigger for the Pistons, because there are reasons to not trade Reggie Bullock, obviously, in addition to whatever may occur here in the rest of the season with the Pistons, in addition to having his bird rights and possibly re-signing him for the future. But did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? If you did, tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons. You get the latest episode there right on your smart speaker, Alexa, Echo, Google Home devices, Sonos, whatever you got there. And just go ahead and do that and listen to the newest episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Yes, sir! A little bit later on, we're going to do it. We're going to talk tank or no tank and why the discussion is really not that simple and really not that different. Sometimes you think about it. Hey, but a cool thing that the Pistons are doing, by the way, giving government employees that can show their government ID, you get two free upper deck tickets to Pistons home games during the shutdown. As far as I know, that will continue if the shutdown continues by the time this road trip ends. So check their Twitter account and website for more details there. But as far as I understand it, you just bring your ID when the doors open at 5:30. And until supplies last, they will hand out pairs of free tickets to government employees there. So if you've never been down to Little Caesars Arena, maybe this is a good chance to grab your government employee downtrodden buddy and see if you can get to the game. Now, then in all seriousness, you know, hope for the best for you guys. Hopefully you can get back to work soon and get those paychecks and hopefully get all that back pay, by the way. I think that Whatever. We're not going to get into it. Reggie Bullock, and I have pulled some of the Locked On podcast hosts with their other teams about what they would give up for him. And I've heard back from some, and I threw the email out. I targeted teams that are projected to pick, you know, after the 20th pick in the first round and asked for their pick or said, you know, make me an alternate offer of some of the other things that you might take. I had Tony East, friend of the show, Locked On Pacers. He says no. But you can have a second-round pick, though. So maybe a second-round pick from the Pacers. They're a team that's going to have all sorts of cap room, more than they know what to do with, really, probably. So the bird rights don't mean a lot to Tony East and the Locked On Pacers. And obviously, these are podcast hosts talking about the teams they cover. So it's not like these are people in the front office, but people that I feel like have a pretty good idea of maybe what the front office. Now, that said, I think that in general, a lot of the podcast hosts are a lot like fans. It's kind of the same kind of, you know, type of person. And fans tend to look more favorably at their own players, teams on their own roster than other teams' rosters. So Reggie Bullock is probably someone that the Pistons fans value a lot more than every other team's fans. Now, that said, you'd hope that a front office would be unbiased and not have the built-in biases towards their own players and not have the built-in, you know, slander of the players from other franchises. So not unexpected that the offers weren't pouring in from people who are more like fans than more like people involved with teams. Now, David Locke of the Jazz, our boss of the Lockdown Podcast Network, they're also in a good cap situation. So he made the good point that why would they give up an asset when they could probably just go ahead and get him in the offseason as a free agent anyways. And they already made their Kyle Korver trade. So as far as their random bench shooter situation, they're looking pretty good. And obviously Donovan Mitchell is going to eat up a lot of those minutes at the two guard anyway. And then Milwaukee, they got back to me. Frank says they can't trade first round picks right now because they're already committed future first with the whole Phoenix deal for Greg Monroe. And I'm sorry, for Eric Bledsoe, and Greg Monroe was in that deal too, I believe. So they're not allowed to deal it without complications from the Stepien rule. So if they've already committed from 2 years from now, they can't trade this upcoming first-round pick because you can't trade a first-round pick in multiple future seasons, which is not affecting the Pistons because we're not in future seasons anymore. You can deal your first-round pick every year, but you just have to wait until the next draft is over before you deal the following year's pick, and I hope that makes a little bit of sense. But some thoughts before I get started on the three teams that I have that I haven't heard back from, and I will keep you posted if I hear back from those hosts. But the Pistons do have their second-round pick in the upcoming season, 2019, but they don't have their next 4 years of second round picks after that. So they have all their first round picks going forward. But like I said, 2019 they do, but they've committed their next 4 years of second round picks. So you'd like to get that war chest beefed up a little bit, one that kind of needs replenishing. I guess Stan Van Gundy really needed James Ennis, really needed Jameer Nelson from the last trade deadline. So those were two of the second round picks. I believe one of them was in the Marcus Morris deal with Phoenix. And then there was another one. Oh, we gave up for Kyrie Thomas this past draft. But a nice move, by the way, to get Kyrie Thomas this year as opposed to banking on a solid, deep draft in upcoming seasons. Again, it's not a huge deal. The Pistons don't have their second-round picks going forward. I don't want to overstate the importance of second-round picks. Now, obviously, as Pistons fans, you might be sitting here thinking, Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas, pretty good players. Guys we talk about as part of the future of this organization, but that was an unusually strong draft in the top 45 picks. And we talked about that here on the show before the draft, that what I was hearing from being at the combine, being around some draft people, was that this was a really good top 10. You know, and we see this across the board on that top 10 from this year, especially that top five of the future stars there and really not dropping off too much until about 11 with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But and it seems about right. It seems like that was an accurate thing to say. But then a pretty big or significant drop off, and really not a consensus after that on the differences between guys that you might say is like the 12th or 13th pick and like the 40th pick. Now obviously there's a difference, but not as big of a stark of a difference as you might think in a good draft of a mid first round pick to a mid second round pick. It was just kind of a what's your flavor? What do you think? And really, it's early in how all these guys' careers, and some of those picks in the teens still look very good. Josh Okogie is a guy who was a nice pick for Minnesota, and there's others, obviously. But really, you look at it, the Clippers with their own pick, not the Pistons pick, they took Jerome Robinson from Boston College at 13. Hasn't really done anything for them. Then take a look at Bruce Brown at 42. And I'm not saying Bruce Brown is the second coming or even that he'll be definitely in the league in 4 years, but I wonder if you polled NBA executives and see who you'd rather have today. And again, I'm probably a homer about Bruce Brown's value at this point. But again, Miles Bridges, he was picked with the pick that the Pistons traded in the Blake Griffin draft, and then it subsequently got traded again for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But and Miles Bridges is better than Bruce Brown, but not by leaps and bounds that you expect the 11th or 12th player in the draft compared to the 45th player, 42nd player in the draft that Bruce Brown was. So just keep that in mind when you're talking about, again, how important those picks are in the teens if you want the Pistons to tank this year. It comes down to drafts. Not all drafts are the same. Not all a 10th pick in the drafts are the same year to year. And when you talk about those, even the late single digits, the early double digits, lots of Brandon Knights out there, lot of Austin Days out there, Rodney White, Mateen Cleaves, you know, pick your Pistons bust du jour, really. And for Bullock, and this goes for Ish too, you got to target teams, I believe, that are in a cap crunch. I think that helps you because if teams are over the cap, then the bird rights matters to them. And bird rights means you can re-sign your own free agents even if you are over the cap. And if you trade a guy like Reggie Bullock, you're also trading his bird rights to the other team. And so it's kind of like a get out of jail free card. It doesn't impact the luxury tax. You can't. It doesn't give you a free pass from the luxury tax, but it affects the dealings you can make if you're over the soft salary cap in the NBA. So the bird rights, by the way, are one of the best reasons to keep Reggie Bullock and Ish Smith if you're the Pistons and if you're in that camp that we need to hold on to these guys. But I'll keep you posted if I hear from these three teams that I think might fit for Reggie Bullock. And we'll do this in descending order of interest. So we'll start with number three. I'll say the Houston Rockets, number three. They are well over the cap. They've committed to so much money for Chris Paul and James Harden and Clint Capella, but they need upgrades even this year, and they're not going to be able to make them in the open free agency market this summer because of their cap situation. And obviously we know that's a team who places a premium on threes. They've got all their second-round picks going forward. Where my mind's at is one second-round pick for Reggie Bullock is probably not enough, but you stack two of them in consecutive years without protections, and that probably gets it done in my mind. Obviously, we'd prefer a little bit of a bidding war and get into a late first-round pick, or maybe find a young player that we can take instead of maybe one of those second-round picks. But the second team that I would look at is the Portland Trailblazers. And if I'm Portland, I'm just tired of getting to the playoffs and being an also-ran. So I want to beef this up a little bit. Basically, Bullock goes in there. He takes all of Nick Stauskas' minutes, maybe some of Jake Lehman's minutes in a small ball lineup, but he can be the shooter off the bench when, and also be a defensive player, maybe the guy that Seth Curry isn't sometimes as a backup guard. Insurance to start at the two if they ever want to trade C.J. McCollum and break up that backcourt going forward if they think they're stuck in the mud. You can play Bullock with C.J. McCollum if you want to play him on the ball a little bit. Obviously, you can play with Dame Lillard as well. He can defend the opponent that the McCollum or Lillard can't in those kind of lineups. And like I said, Stauskas, Lehman, Curry, all those guys are all off the books next year. And Bullock, you could re-sign and fill some of those roles while being more of a two-way guy, kind of helping out your team overall. But number one, the team I would target most would be the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is the third worst 3-point shooting team in the NBA. The Pistons, by the way, dead last right now, in case you're wondering. He might be able to take some of Alex Abrines' minutes and doesn't hurt the defense, actually helps the Oklahoma City defense, which is outstanding. Takes away some of Terrence Ferguson's minutes, although he is playing well this year and shooting well, but he's 20 years old. I don't know. Do you feel good about putting that 20-year-old in the conference finals out there? And in Oklahoma City, they gave up a couple of conditional first-round picks in 2020 and 2022. They're probably going to lose both of those. But a team that appears ready to trade picks, and with projects like Terrence Ferguson, you might be more willing to trade picks because your future kind of looks bright with those guys. But with Paul George coming in with the big money, they are like the highest payroll in the league. They have no free agent flexibility, so they're going to want guys with bird rights. This team has a chance to be very good, and they want to reward Russell Westbrook and Paul George for their loyalty, give them as many weapons as they can to kind of make a real run this year in the Western Conference, which I think is winnable. I think it's sneaky winnable. I believe that. I think Golden State's fragile, and I know that Russell Westbrook definitely believes that. And you also need shooters going forward even more in case Andre Roberson comes back, which they would hope for, and gets back in the rotation. And obviously he's a black hole with the shooting. So you're going to need to space the court as much as possible with Andre Roberson on the floor as well. So that's my trade. Hopefully you can get Bullock for next year's number one for Oklahoma City, which probably ends up in the mid-20s. Then you go into the draft with two number one picks, feeling good, right? But OKC probably wouldn't do that, but maybe you can make it, 2020 and 2021, get the second round picks, stack those up. Or maybe you want to fit in a project, a guy like Hamidou Diallo in a second round pick or something like that going forward. So what do you guys think? Let me know. 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail. Let's talk Reggie Bullock trade scenarios. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys can be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. You know all about the podcast listeners, mostly dudes, very successful dudes at that. Congratulations on being very successful dude listening to the podcast. But have your company jump on to Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Next, tank or no tank and why that discussion is really not that simple. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Couple good basketball teams in the state of Michigan, and listen to Isaiah Hole of Locked On Wolverines and Will Hunter of Locked On Spartans to hear all about those teams. MSU with a big win on Monday night at home against the Maryland Terrapins. Now 12 straight wins, I believe, for Tom Izzo's team. And Michigan looks to bounce back from its first loss of the season on Tuesday night at Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor against Minnesota. And I'll be in the house for that one in Ann Arbor, so check out those podcasts, Locked On Wolverines and Locked On Spartans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. And look, today, I just think it wasn't a very good day for many of us. The early Pistons game threw the Pistons Nation off. If you had the day off of school, the day off of work maybe, or maybe you worked still and just checked the score online or on Twitter. And no matter what, whatever your situation was for this game, and I watched it live, as I always do, it wasn't pretty. And most of us here are also from Michigan with this ridiculous weather this weekend. Again, I'm not complaining because the winter weather held out for a long time. But you see the Sunday sports NFL games, a sense of longing for how good those football games were. We miss good sports here. We miss good sports teams. We miss teams we can be proud of. The Pistons are not a team that we can be proud of right now, obviously. You got these teams, all four of them. Every single one of them is in purgatory right now. We said before that the Pistons, well, at least they got Blake Griffin. They got some hope. The rest of the roster is just such trash that I don't know if there's enough for real hope anymore. It's a sad thought, and I didn't even really want to watch any more hoops after that Pistons game on Monday. I watched a little bit of the Golden State Lakers game here in the first half before I recorded the podcast. Despite the fact that it was on all day, it's normally a MLK tradition for some of us to watch the games all day. But I told you before, I thought that this weekend would be my decider about if I think the Pistons will make the playoffs or not. Now, this is temporary opinion, but they went 1-for-3, heartbreaking loss, and then just a disheartening loss Saturday, that heartbreaking loss, and then just didn't show up for Monday. So, I say no for the Pistons making the playoffs right now. I'm not saying this weekend was the reason that I think they should change course or sell or tank. I've always remained consistent about what the plan should be. Try to look for takers for Reggie Bullock and Ish Smith and Stanley Johnson. I don't mention Stanley Johnson because I don't think anyone's going to want Stanley Johnson. Is the only reason I don't bother mentioning him all the time. But yes, certainly make calls. Make calls for Andre Drummond. Make calls for Reggie Jackson. Yes, make calls for Blake Griffin. I know that seems ridiculous to maybe some of you, but selling high, his prime being right now doesn't really fit with this roster right now. I'm not saying you need to trade Blake Griffin or even that it's at all possible or likely that it's going to happen. But certainly if you're in the position for the Pistons right now, you are making calls and making everyone on your team available. Rod Beard of the Detroit News, he was going to war on Twitter with the tank crowd as he reached kind of a boiling point, it seemed, on Monday. But I think when we talk about the word tank, we're looking at it a little bit too black and white. I think that in a lot of cases, we're all saying similar things. Now, there's the blow the whole thing up, take 5 years crowd out there. I think it's a minority of a crowd of people right now in Pistons fandom, but I think most of us are saying some degrees of a similar thing. Some of us would like to trade Andre Drummond more than others do, but I just don't think it's possible. I don't think there's a lot of teams that value him, especially at the $25 million deal plus as escalating as time goes on. But yeah, I still trade Bullock. And you could still trade him and theoretically be going for the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. You just need other guys to step up. But when we say tank, what does that mean? I just don't think there's a big difference between going for the playoffs and falling short and picking 10 to 12 as opposed to ripping it up all this year, sitting Blake with a bogus injury and moving up to 7 to 9 in the draft. I just don't think that makes sense. I think you could accomplish both of those directives by making a couple of wise trades for future assets. And still, if you roll out a team like Monday or something similar to Monday, not being a buyer and adding anything, but you roll out that team, maybe they catch some waves and get hot again and knock down some shots and get back and get to the Eastern Conference playoffs. Again, I doubt it. I predict it's not going to happen. But it's not like trading Reggie Bullock is throwing in the towel on the season. So I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to tank, to move up a few draft spots and go ahead from there. So that's just my take on it. But let's try to find some other things to do this winter in addition to following this team. Find some things in our lives that make us happy, our family, our relationships, our significant others, our things, our hobbies, our exercise, our food, whatever we like to do. Let's make a good sense of doing that. But we got the February 7th trade deadline coming up. We're going to be going fast and furious on trade talk. Until then, I'm asking what you think about the Bullock deals, the teams that I threw out there, Houston, Portland, Oklahoma City. Do you think any of those guys would be interested, or do you think of another team out there that might be interested in Reggie Bullock with something the Pistons might be interested in return? So let us know. 810-666-1546. That's the Google voicemail line. Leave a voicemail with your name and where you live as well. We appreciate hearing from you. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast, and have a good Tuesday, everyone.